الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. First of all, please forgive me for my voice. It's going to be a little bit rough, just under a little bit of weather. والحمد لله. Please keep me in your dua. بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد والحمد لله حمدا أبدا سرمدا حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وعظيم سلطانه وجزيل نعمائه والصلاة والسلام على أشرف أنبيائه محمد الطيب الطاهر الصادق الأمين الرسول المبين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله الطاهرين الطيبين وأصحابه الغر الميامين والتابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم اجعلنا منهم آمين. إلهي أنا الجاهل في علمي فكيف لا أكون جهولا في جهلي. إلهي أنا الفقير في غناي فكيف لا أكون فقيرا في فقري. والله I am the one who is ignorant while he knows. How can I not be utterly ignorant when I don't know? Ilahi, I am poor and destitute and impoverished when I am rich. How can I not be utterly poor when I am poor. الفقر والجهل من صفاتي الذاتية والغنى والعلم صفات عارضة. Poverty and ignorance are my essential qualities. Richness and knowledge are transient qualities from your grace and your favor. With this, I begin and I remind myself and yourselves, my dear brothers and sisters. Learning to forgive in these few moments, generous moments we have together, I would remind myself and my dear brothers and sisters, bi-idhnillah, about learning to forgive, not just forgiving, learning to forgive, and why it is important to learn to forgive, and why, as those who preach and claim and desire at least to be the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, and that he be our beloved, why must we learn to forgive? Forgiving is a virtue, and it is a challenge to the nafs. Forgiving is a virtue and is a challenge to the nafs, to the self. Like, as many of you know, are many other virtues and many other righteous deeds, they are challenges to the nafs. To be generous is a challenge to the nafs, to many of us, if not all of us. To be compassionate, to be humble, to be polite, to be patient, to be Halim, forbearing, all these are challenges to the nafs. The nafs, generally, for many of us, does not want to be patient, does not want to be forbearing, does not want to be generous, does not want to be humble, does not want to be compassionate. Like the nafs, many of our nufus, even as Muslims, do not easily want to wake up for Fajr, for Salah. Even when we know it is right, it's a challenge to the nafs. Even when we know it is good, the nafs sometimes does not want to be charitable. It wants to withhold, knowing that giving and being generous is a virtue that Allah loves. So it's a challenge to the nafs. To fast the month of Ramadan, let alone extra days in the year, is a challenge to the nafs. Tahaddi lin-nafs. It's against the drives of the nafs. And so, the virtue of forgiving, the virtue of maghfirah, the virtue of afu, the virtue of musamaha, the virtue of safh, this virtue is also a challenge to the nafs. Wouldn't you agree? Listen to what's inside of you and recall events in your lives, at home, in the masjid, at work, between relatives, generally in society, and you will know that we have internal challenges that seem to hold us back from expressing a beautiful virtue. An-nafsu hakadha tubi'at ala qadar. This is the nafs. Its nature is to oppose. Its nature is stained. Inna nafsa la ammaratum bisu. Didn't our Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that? So let's internalize that. Verily, the nafs, the base nafs, commands that which is not virtuous, commands that which is evil. Number two, the second point to lead us into this subject matter, inshallah ta'ala. Allah tells us in the Quran, I remind my dear brothers and sisters and myself, tells us about the fact that we as Muslims, for us, is to be axiomatic, something that does not need proof. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human being to be who? To be who? To be the Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth, isn't he? وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. On earth, I shall set a Khalifa. Khalifa of whom? Of God himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Khalifa of Allah. Allahu Akbar. You, each one of you, is meant to be the Khalifa of Allah on earth. Allahu Akbar. Now, what does Khalifa mean and imply at the level of this discussion with you, my dear brothers and sisters? First of all, when someone is a Khalifa of another, that person who is a Khalifa of A is a Khalifa and is a perfect Khalifa when he represents A, the best way to represent A in what A is about. To be Khalifa of Allah is to represent Allah on earth in the most beautiful possible way to represent Allah, number one. Isn't it? Think about it, please, this way. Number two, Allah is known to us through his attributes and names. نعرف الله سبحانه وتعالى بصفاته وأسمائه التي عرفنا إياها. We know him سبحانه وتعالى by his names and attributes which he made known to us. He is Alim, is Hakim, is Rahim, is Wadud, is Adl, is Muhsin, and so on, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's attributes, Allah's characteristics, ta'ala Allahu anil amthali wal ashbah, are, as we say, all beautiful. Walillahi al-asma'ul husna. And to Allah belong the most beautiful names, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as to who he is described with every attribute that is beautiful. Ar-Rahim is beautiful. Al-Alim is beautiful. Al-Ghafoor is beautiful. Al-Ra'uf is beautiful. Al-Kareem is beautiful. Even his names of Jalal, like Al-Adl, the just, like Al-Qahar, the overwhelming, like Al-Aziz, the untouchable, even these attributes are in their majesty beautiful. Do you hear me? His attributes of Jalal, of majesty, like Al-Qahar, Al-Aziz, Al-Muntaqim, Al-Adl, which I translated, the just, the last of them. Each one of them is beautiful in its majesty. لِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. So, we become a khalifa of Allah when we internalize the attributes that are beautiful of Allah at our human level. At our human level. Allah is Alim. He wants us to be people of ilm. Allah is Hakim. He wants us to be hukama. At our level, the best possible way. Allah is Rahim, mercifully loving. He wants us to be ruhama. Allah is Ra'uf. He wants us to be of people of Ra'afa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Muhsin. He wants us to be muhsineen. When I and you internalize those attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal to the best possible way, and our life is to be a journey of beautifying ourselves with his attributes at our level until we become the best possible representatives, khulafa, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this is what Khalifa really means. You can't be a Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam while you are a cheater. If we're a cheater, a liar, a ruthless person, heartless person, unjust person, we cannot be Khulafa of Rasulullah, even if we have that name, some of us. To represent Rasulullah is to represent his attributes. To represent Allah is to represent his attributes. Who is the most beautiful representation of Khilafa on earth? See, you all say it. You know that. SubhanAllah, it's inherent in you. Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Al-insanu al-kamil. Al-khalifatu al-kamil. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now, why is this relevant to what we're saying? Because Allah is Afuun yuhibbul afu. Allah is Ghafurun yuhibbul maghfira. Allah forgives. Allah pardons and he loves those who forgive, those who pardon. They are his attributes. I cannot claim a way to Khilafah if I do not strive daily, nay, heartbeat by heartbeat, to make my heart be in the condition of attributes that Allah Azza wa Jal loves. Of which, Al-Afu. Of which, Al-Ghafoor. That's why I must learn to forgive. Because I am to be the Khalifa of Allah on earth. I am to mimic and imitate the most beautiful Khalifa on earth of Allah, Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So my purpose in this life, my objective in this life, is to grow, to enhance, and to embellish, and to adorn my heart with beautiful characteristics. هذه هي الخلافة. خلافة الإنسان لله على الأرض. And when you think about it, everything that is correct of the concept of khilafa falls under this generic, general, all-encompassing definition. In the Arabic language, afa, to say to forgive, I want us also to have a feeling of what it means to forgive. When we hear the word forgive in English, we will not have the same feelings if we heard it in its original Arabic Quranic terms and when we know what they mean. Early Arabs knew these things spontaneously, naturally. We, most of us, unfortunately, have to learn it, have to read it, have to study it, have to practice it so that it becomes, hopefully, second nature. عَفَى يَعْفُ, which we translate as to pardon. عَفَتِ الرِّيحُ الْأَثَرُ. When we say the wind عَفَتْ عَنْ الْأَثَرُ أو الْأَثَرُ, which means the wind erased the footprints or the marks in the desert, and the wind came and it removed it. So when you practice عَفُ, what are you doing? We are removing the effects that we have inside of us on account of somebody having wronged us. The hate, the hatred, the anger, the grudge, the spite, the vindictiveness. Afa, like that beautiful wind that comes and removes all of that from your heart. When you say afautu, afautu anka. So, but we say, I pardoned you, but it's just a word and we don't feel it. This is what I need to feel. Afa also means to increase, to multiply, actually. Al-afu means multiplication, increase. يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ قُلِ الْعَفُ, as Allah says in the Quran. They ask you, what should they spend? Tell them al-afu, the excess, the extra, in those times before zakah was obligatory. So al-afu, when I express afu, means I am actually increasing the other person whom I forgave, or the person who forgave me is increasing me. How is that? Because once he forgave me, inshallah, Allah will not hold me to account for what I did. And if he does not hold me to account for what I did, it means what? He's not going to remove from me hasanat. He's not going to punish me. So the person, by pardoning me, has increased me. عَفَوْتُ عَنْكَ. Allahu Akbar. The word غَفَرَ, which we translate as to forgive غَفَرَ, is beautiful meaning also, as many of you know. وَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. غَفَرَ in the Arabic language means to cover up, to conceal. That's why the helmet you put on the head is called in Arabic al-mighfar. Al-mighfar, the means by which to do ghafara. Al-mighfar, because it covers the head, it conceals the head, it protects. So maghfira, غَفَرْتُ لَكَ, Allah غَفَرَ لِي, Allah غَفَرَ لِي. You know what it means? That he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, conceals my mistakes, conceals my faults, conceals the consequences of my dhanb. He does not expose me. He does not expose me in dunya, and he does not expose me in akhirah. Even if we are forgiven, it means we are not going to be held to be punished. And you meet Allah and he tells you, this is what you did. And he tells the world, this is what he did or what she did. Would you like that? No, we wouldn't like that. Ghafara is to conceal. to cover, not to expose. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us on the day of judgment of a person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring to himself, a sinner, a muwahhid, a person who says La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah and prays and fasts and so on, but has committed other violations, privately perhaps. And Allah will bring, this is one person, and there are, means generically there are many people like that. He will bring the person, and the person has done a lot of good also. And Allah will begin to tell him or her, Ya Abdi, this is what you did on what day at which time. Nowadays, like you see it in front of you played on video camera, and the time is there by the second and where it was all done. Wa ta'ala Allahu anil amthal. And may Allah be exalted from analogies. And you see that. And two, and three, things you forgot. And four, and five, Allahu Akbar. And the person, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, then the person would say, I am done. And a fear excessive overwhelms the person. That's it, I am done. And then Allah says to that person, between him and that person, in ways beyond description, beyond modality, beyond spatial or temporal insinuations, وَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْأَمْثَالِ, he tells him, Ya Abdi, this you did, and I concealed them for you, غَفَرْتُ لَكَ, in dunya, and I did not expose you in dunya. Go, my Abd, I will not expose you in akhirah. Now, this is maghfirah. This is maghfirah. When you say, ghafartu lak, or ighfirli ya akhi, or Allahumma ghafirli, Allahumma ghafirli, we ask Allah to conceal our dhunub in this dunya and in akhirah, and to conceal the effects of our dhunub, not to make it operative, to cover it, not to let it be operative in this dunya or in akhirah, because dhunub have consequences, psychological consequences, emotional consequences, mental consequences, intellectual consequences, spiritual consequences, social consequences, political consequences, physical consequences, health consequences. Dhunub have consequences in dunya and in akhirah, except if Allah yaghfir, conceals, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he say maghfirah, this is what we mean. And so on. And so the word also, safah, safahtu anka, safahtu anka. Hadhihi safhatul wajh, this is the plate of the face. My side is the plate of the face. So safahtu anhu means like I turned the plate of my face away from someone, which means that which he committed or she committed, the violations they committed, I turn away from them. I do not face them with a vindictive eye and with a challenge. It's like, you didn't do anything. Subhanallah. I go away. I don't challenge you. I don't demand my rights. It's as though you didn't do it. Safahtu ank. That's why musafaha. Musafaha is having two hands, the plates of the hands, the palm of the hands meeting together. Safahtu. As-safh. Fasfah as-safha al-jameel, as Allah Azza wa Jal. Be in beautiful safh. Forgive people in this way, by turning away from holding them to account. Not embarrassing them, just as though it didn't happen. Not to demand, not to tell them, you have done this and you have done that and I want this and I want that. فَاصْفَحْ الصَّفْحَ الْجَمِيلِ. Do it in a beautiful way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And so on, and many beautiful words such as al-musamaha, or also words that translate usually as to forgive. And musamaha comes from the meaning in the Arabic of al-musahala, of al-jud, of al-lean. A person, yusamih, samihni ya akhi, samihini ya ukhti, literally samaha and asmaha also mean to be very generous, means to be very easy, not demanding, and to be very lenient also in samh and musamah. So these are the meanings that we are revolving about, my dear brothers and sisters, as we speak about learning to forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the reasons I and you, we all need to forgive, and for many of us, to learn to forgive, because we said forgiving is a challenge to the nafs. It's an uphill battle at home, family life, forgiving between husband and wife, and relatives, children, is an uphill road because we all have nufus. We all have nufus, and some of us have inflated nufus. And the degree of inflation of the nufus will lead to less ease to forgive. It's a challenge to the nafs. Inna an-nafsa la'ammaratun bis-su. Al-jihadu aw afdalu al-jihadi man jahada nafsahu fi dhati Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says the most beautiful of jihad is the one who is in jihad against his own nafs. This is hadith on sahih, against his own nafs in Allah. In Allah, you want Allah, you have to have no nafs. The hijab, the veil, the obstacle, the sadd between me and Allah is my nafs. Remove the nafs, you're with Allah. That's why some have said, rahmahullah ta'ala, they have said, man arafa nafsahu arafa rabbahu. Who knows his or her own nafs shall know his or her own Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the nafs is the barrier, is the dam, is the obstacle, the veil, the dark veil between my heart's liberty to access to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is a challenge to the nafs. Allah says, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. If we ponder this ayah, it will take us another half an hour, but briefly. Allah commands you and me, and this command is a command surely of istihbab, is a command of recommendation. Allah loves that we do that. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Let them practice afu, and let them practice safh. He's telling us, believing man and women. عَفَى يَعْفُوا, we said what it meant. We say forgive, pardon, but you heard the meaning of عَفَى and يَعْفُوا. عَفَى is to increase, to remove the effects, and to increase in goodness. Allah says, instead of to mean the word forgive and pardon, he says, فَلْيَعْفُوا. Second, وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. He repeats it second time with another verb that means pardoning and forgiving, which we mentioned, وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Let them practice safh. And what is safh, we said? Turn away the plate of your face from the accused or from the person who did wrong to you. We don't hold them to account. We don't look at them into the eyes. You have done this. It's like when, in our culture, when you're shy, you don't look at a person's face. You don't look at a person's eyes out of haya. You know, like, haya. It's beautiful haya. So, safh is when you do that with the face of your heart. Your heart is not demanding. Your heart is turning away from demanding. Allah says at the end, look, three beautiful verbs. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. He says, do you not want that Allah, do you not love, يحبون, do you not have حب, do you not yourselves love that Allah would do maghfirah to you, would forgive you? And we said what forgiving means. Remember that moment with Allah Azza wa Jal. Go, my abd, I have forgiven you. I'm not going to expose you. I did not expose you in dunya. That's forgiving. غفرت لك في الدنيا. I will not expose you in akhirah now. Allah says, when you do that, don't you love that Allah will not expose you? We all have dhunub, but he was saying this to whom? To the Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhum arzahum. To forgive those who hurt whom? If you know, سبب نزول هذه الآية. This is in Surah Al-Ahzab. On the occasion when people have hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his honor, and they were believing people, many of them, and some of them were munafiq. And they said, Sayyida Ummuna Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha wa arzaha, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha wa arzaha, is this and that, wal'iyadh billah. And he's telling them through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allahu Akbar, falyafu wal yasfahu. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ He's telling them. And they were angry, including Abu Bakr al-Siddiq رضي الله تعالى عنه وأرضاه, who said, these people have done that to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And Aisha was his daughter, al-Siddiq bint al-Siddiq. And he used to be very good and generous to them. He used to feed them, give them gifts, help them. Some of them were needy. And yet, when this calamity occurred, when this fitna occurred, they did not take the side of Rasulullah. They did not take the side of Abu Bakr, Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They took the side of their own nufus. And Allah is saying to Rasulullah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is communicating that to his companions, فَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ Only for this, if it were only one ayah, I must learn to forgive. And the ayat are too many to enlist because of time, inshallah, we'll go further. A man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, جَاءَ رَجُلٌ إِلَىٰ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالَ لَهُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ كَمْ أَعْفُو عَنْ خَادِمِي And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned and was quiet. He didn't answer him. He said, Ya Rasulullah, how frequently should I practice afu, forgive? Remember now when you say forgive afu, connect the meaning in your heart. Connect the meaning in your heart. How frequently, how often should I forgive my maid who is paid, who is kada, and so on, and violates the rules and the standards and does wrong so many times? He says, how many times should I forgive? See, the question that poses itself. Yeah, well, once and twice and three times. How often should I forgive? That's our nafs talking, because we're putting a limit on virtue. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't answer him. He says it a second time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not answer him. He says it a third time. After the third time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, اعفو عنه كل يوم سبعين مرة. End of quote. رواه أبو داود والترمذي and others. As related by Imam Abu Tawud and الترمذي and others like Abu Ya'la in his Musnad and others, he replied, صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم, اعفو عنه, forgive him every day 70 times. 70. اعفو عنه كل يوم سبعين مرة. So ask the question, Ya Rasulullah, how often should I forgive my family? How often should I forgive my wife? How often should I forgive my husband? How often should I forgive my children? How often should I forgive my neighbor? How often should I forgive my relative? How often should I forgive, assuming they all did wrong to me? Because sometimes you perceive wrong to be done to us and nobody wronged us. But assume the wrong is real. حق عند الله عز وجل. He says to him, do that every day 70 times. And the Arabic language, 70, when the ulama say the word 70 is mentioned, or 7, it may mean the number 7 or the number 70 literally, or it may mean simply multiplicity, unbounded number, large number. Subhanallah. My dear brothers and sisters, as it is said, to err is human, and to forgive is divine. See, it's an attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive. To be wrong, to be weak, to be ignorant, to be poor, to be aggressive, to be bad-mannered is part of being human. To forgive is being divine, is to be divine. The khilafa of Allah on earth is to have His attributes, divine attributes, be my attributes at my human dimension. The best possible way. To err is human. Al-faqru wal-jahlu wasfani dhatiyani lil-insan. To err is human. Faqr, poverty, and ignorance are characteristics inherent and essential in human nature. To forgive is arav. To forgive is transient. Who forgives every day, all the time, incessantly? Only Allah. And thus you and I realize how weak we always are, constantly are. So to err is human and to forgive is divine. My dear brothers and sisters, virtue is an uphill battle against the drives of the self, as we mentioned. I and you need to forgive, I would say, to preserve our commitment for justice. We need to forgive to preserve our commitment for justice. Why? Because ihsan in general, and forgiveness is of ihsan, of magnanimity, of benevolence. To forgive, forgiveness, ihsan in general, is a buffer zone, is a layer of protection for justice. If in my life I do not practice benevolence, ihsan, like forgiving, like merciful love, if I do not practice that, then I will erode justice. Those of us who do not strive to be forgiving, to be benevolent, to be magnanimous, we will violate justice more often than not. To preserve justice, I must practice extra ihsan. That's a buffer zone. You know, now they say, they set buffer zones between two countries so that you don't get to them. Buffer zone in my heart of ihsan, of forgiveness, so that shaitan doesn't get to the requirement of justice. Because justice is obligatory. It's not mustahab. Justice is wajib, fardu ain. It's not something recommended only, or fardu kifaya. It is fardu ain. And if I don't have a buffer to protect it because of my iniquity as a human being, I will eat up, I will erode justice quickly. At home, I need to practice ihsan simply to preserve justice, which is wajib in my family. I must practice ihsan and benevolence in my quarters, in my neighborhood, in my work, in my company, whichever type of life I have. I must practice, I must have a layer of benevolence. I would say, in my opinion, I'm not a business person, but I think perhaps nowadays some of the most successful business people are those who are more compassionate with their own employees. Wouldn't you say so? Without the employees being, of course, overrunning them. the layer of benevolence to protect justice. The son of Adam, who said to his brother, لَإِنْ بَسَطْتَ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطٍ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Let us be something like that. Let each one of us strive to have it sometimes at least like that. Saying to his brother who said, I am going to kill you. Why did he want to kill him so unjustly? Simply on a basis of a religious disagreement. On a spiritual disagreement. That's the way I put it. Because Allah Azza wa Jal accepted from one. Allah accepted. He made an offering to Allah and he wanted to be nearer to Allah and Allah did not accept from him. And he accepted from the other. So this is spiritual conditions and stations. One is spiritually higher than the other one. Allah gave him that maqam and the other one was not given that maqam and Allah knows why. He said, how could this happen? I should be spiritually like you or better than you. Why didn't Allah accept from me and accept it from you? I'm going to kill you to this extent. Yes, human beings can even religiously, to this extent, hate and kill and thinking this is for God. The other one answers, لَإِنْ بَسَطْتَ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطٍ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ. The other one responds, if you extend your might, your hand to me to kill me, I will not extend my hand to kill you. You do that. I will not do that. إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. I fear Allah. Now, in retrospect, you know why Allah accepted from him and did not accept from the other. Because Allah knew the heart of this one. This is his heart. The other one has a rude, rough heart. And that was expressed. Allah made it come out through this disagreement. And he even said it, I'm going to kill you. This does not deserve to be near to Allah. And the other one deserved because he had a beautiful heart. Who could forgive to this extent, even to kill me, to annihilate me, I will not do the same to you, my brother. Many of us, most of us are not in that maqam. Can't we at least not be in the maqam of, and I'm going to put it this way, لَإِنْ بَسَطْتَ إِلَيَّ لِسَانَكَ لِتَزْلِقَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطٍ إِلَيَّ مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطٍ إِلَيْكَ لِسَانِي لِأَزْلِقَكَ. This is my words. If it was about killing, can I not tell my brother or my sister under these very, sometimes very difficult circumstances, I shall not unleash my tongue against you to flag you. I'm sorry, to flog you with my tongue. If you extend your tongue to me to flog me with your tongue, I will not extend my tongue to flog you. Forgiving and an incentive to forgive. This is very strong against the nafs. And the nafs does not easily do that. Especially when we are in some conditions that are conducive to make us not forgive. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said to those who have combated him and tortured for 13 or 14 years. Nay, now this is after Fathu Makkah, for 20 or so years. And then he says to the fiercest of them, to the mass murderers of them, who repented, and he said, go, you are free. اذهبوا فأنتم الطلقاء, said he to them. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. When a man who had killed the son of another man, this is hadith on Sahih, He killed the young son of another man, even in Hudud, unlike sometimes we hear some ulama, it's their beautiful opinion, rahimahullah ta'ala. However, there is this also. A man brought another young man tied in his hands to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, this man confessed he had killed my son, and I want qisas. And I want qisas, justice. This person is to be killed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this case told him, subhanallah, and he knows what he says and when he says and what he says and how he says what he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, u'fu anna, u'fu anna, is the father. And this is not just stealing, this is not just beating, this is not just money. Your son is killed. And with the strength of the time of the Jahiliyyah and after that, and the strong commitment to family, he says to him, "Ufu anna." I'm going to say, pardon him, forgive him, but now you heard the word "Ufu," what it meant earlier. "Ufu," and he says, "No, I will not, Ya Rasulullah." He says to him, second time, "Ufu anna," and accept the diyah. He says, "No, Ya Rasulullah. I will not do that." And he took the man, dragged him with the rope for execution. Third time, "U'fu anna." Third time, says, "No." And then when he walked away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is hadith on sahih. He said to him, "Innaka idhan mithluha." He said, "You are then like him." This is a special case. He didn't hear that. Companions ran behind him and said, did you hear what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? He said, no. He said, what did he say? They said to him, he said, you are then like him. He said, did he say that? SubhanAllah. He stopped, he came back. Ya Rasulullah, I forgave him. I don't want to be like him. And because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam requested, Allahu Akbar, the utmost martaba of husnul khuluq, the utmost martaba, station of beautiful character, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described, and tu'tiya man haramak, wa tasila man qata'ak, wa an ta'fuwa amman zalamak. As it is related in the authentic hadith, the utmost expression of beautiful khuluq is you give those who withhold from you. Allahu Akbar. They withhold from you your rights. This is not withholding from you that which is not your right, is justice. To give to those who withhold from you what is yours, to give them. Can you do that? Can we do that? That's why I'm speaking about learning to forgive. I'm speaking about learning to forgive. وَأَن تَصِلَ مَنْ قَطَعَكَ, and that you connect the ties with those who sever their ties with you. And that you, وَأَن تَعْفُوَ عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكَ, and that you forgive through عَفُو those who do wrong to you. This is the way of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. ألا تحبون أن يغفر الله لكم وأحسن كما أحسن الله إليك. Allah says, be benevolent as Allah has been benevolent to you. If Allah were to hold me accountable on account of what I do and I deserve, I will never enter Jannah. If Allah were to hold me to account with what I do, I will not be left on earth to live. وَلَوْ أَخْذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا ظَلَمُوا مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ. If Allah said, if Allah were to hold human beings to account by what they did, He would leave no living creature on earth. So He said, I have been a muhsin to you. This is how I treat you, human beings. Why don't you treat each other that way? أَحْسِن كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Why do you want to be forgiven by me and you don't forgive each other? Why do you claim by nafs, I want justice and Allah loves justice? And that's usually mostly nafs. But Allah has forgiven you while He is just. And if He will hold me to account by justice only, I will not enter Jannah. My dear brothers and sisters, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزًّا. Allah only increases the servant who forgives, He only increases him in dignity. Don't fear that forgiving will make us weak and will make others audacious against us at the family level or at the social level or at national level or whatever level. That would happen if we have no trust in our qulub in Him, Azza wa Jal. If we still rely in forgiving, we're relying on ourselves for some interest, of some personal interest. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّا. Nobody who forgives is undignified, is humiliated. Those who forgive shall always be exalted, shall always be dignified. Just be patient and wait and trust Allah Azza wa Jal. Wallahi innahu lahaq. Said he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a part of the hadith, innama shiddatu an yamtali'a ahadukum ghaydan thumma yaghlibuh. An yamtali'a ahadukum ghaydan, yamtali'a ahadukum ghaydan thumma yaghlibuh. Ashidda, might, power, strength, he said. What is it? Ashidda. It's not the one who wrestles, not the one who defeats others. But he says, Ashidda, might, strength, and power, is when one of you is filled, now look at this expression, is filled with ghayz. Ghayz is like the point when one is filled with anger and vindictiveness and is about to explode. And yamtali'a, you are filled with ghayz. Ghayz, vindictiveness and spite. Filled with that, not you have in it, in your qalb you have it, that you're filled with that. And you overwhelm it. You defeat it. You don't let it come out. Oh, that's power. That's power. Who said this? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is related that Sayyiduna Yahya alayhi salam, John the Baptist, Sayyiduna Yahya alayhi salam, said to Isa alayhi salam, Jesus the Christ, alayhi salatu Allahi wa salamuhu ala rasulina salawatu wa salam, Ya Ruh Allah, أخبرني بأي شيء أو بأشد شيء في الدارين. قال غضب الله. He says to Isa عليه السلام, to Sayyidina Isa عليه السلام, he asked him, John the Baptist, in this narrative in our Islamic heritage, what is it that is worst to meet Allah with in this dunya and in akhirah? بِأَشَدِّ شَيْءٍ فِي الدَّارَيْنِ. What is the most difficult thing to face as a challenge in this dunya and in akhirah? He answered, the wrath of Allah, the anger of Allah. He said to him, يَا رُوحَ اللَّهِ مِمَّا يَبْدُو الْغَضَبِ. O Spirit of God, how does anger come about? Now I'm sorry, before that, it asked him, Ya Ruh Allah, wama yunjini min ghadabillah. O Spirit of God, what shall save me from God's anger, from Allah's wrath? He answered, Tarkul ghadab. ما ينجني من غضب الله؟ قال له ترك الغضب. What shall save me from Allah's anger, from God's anger? He said, don't be angry. That's the answer. Please think about it, my dear sisters and brothers. This is not intellectual entertainment or philosophical entertainment. I and you internalize it. لا تغضب. كما أوصى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الرجل الذي سأله قال له لا تغضب 3 times. Do not be angry. Do not be angry. Do not be angry. I must learn to strive not to be angry. This saves from the anger of Allah in dunya and in akhirah. And he asked him, عليه السلام الله مما يبدو الغضب. What are some of the reasons to be angry? Or why are we angry? Or why do we show anger? He replied, قال بالتعزز والتكبر ومحقرة الناس. بالتعفزز, that is النفوذ وطلب النفوذ. In other words, to be power hungry. Anger comes when we are a person who has a characteristic of being like in power and power motivated. Because when we're power motivated, we do not forgive. We are very angry at those who disagree with us. One argument, 2 arguments, and then you don't understand. You kafir, you kafir, you mushrik, you fasiq, you kafir, you kafir. And I'll show you. Because, and if we have power, we will show it. بالتعزز. And if we strive in this dunya to have nufud and to have izz, dunyawi concept, in the negative sense, dunyawi izz, that will make us prone to be angry. Think about it inside of you, you will know it is true. Not only at political realms, no, no, not only in parties, no, no, not only in community work, in your own home. In your own home, with your own relatives. That's why some ulama beautifully said, rahimahumullah ta'ala, of all our early spiritual psychologists, if I would call it this way, rahimahumullah ta'ala, they said, when we disagree with someone, someone does not consent with us, whom we conceive as less than us, we perceive of, that's our perception, of someone who is less than us, and they do not consent with us, our response is anger. And if the person who does not consent with us, we perceive of them as above us, our response is sadness. Subhanallah. Haqq. And we are all plagued with this disease of above the other. One way to remedy that anger in me at this spiritual, psychological level is I should learn to control my nafs and to feel like less than the others. They said, rahimahumullah ta'ala, also, if you feel above the others, you're above the others and the others are here, water never flows from bottom to top. Their water, their life, the goodness they have shall never come to you. Because you always are above them. And water does not flow from bottom to top. You have to put yourself down. And they are above you. Then their water comes to you. You will benefit from them. When we are top and they are low, we will never change. Whoever they are, my dear brothers and sisters. some of the words that we shall say finally in the next 15 minutes I think we have. What are some of the advice I leave myself and you with about learning to forgive? In addition to what I shared with you of information that I pray, inshallah ta'ala, will help us begin to desire to learn to forgive. First, know, I must learn to know about the virtues of forgiving. When I don't know what I miss, I will not seek it. To know about the virtues of forgiving, of which we mentioned few, such as also of the virtues of forgiving, my dear brothers and sisters, is release. Think about it. Those of you who have been angry and have not forgiven of us, it will only create that bump inside of you, that knot inside of you, and you cannot breathe. And you will always hold it there. And that will come to haunt you. It will come to lead to anxiety, to depression even. And you don't forget. And the first person who suffers of us on account of anger is the angry one. How many I know, how many brothers and sisters I have encountered, including this nafs, which will not find peace until it forgives. Otherwise, it can stay for years with you, agony, and despair, and anxiety, and anger. And all that will make you also, it has consequences in your life. The decision making in your life, the family decision making, the learning ability, the practicing of the deen itself will all be influenced if inside I am not at rest. Still holding it, carrying the brunt, carrying the grudge, carrying the spite inside of me. And that itself eats up and erodes at the peace inside of you. To be released, wallahi al-azim, the only way is to forgive. Liwajhillah, liberty of the heart. You are free in the heart. When you hate, when we hate, when we're angry, we are enslaved to that feeling. And you all know adults at some level, when you are angry and when you hate, how much it constricts you in being free, happily free, and doing the virtuous good things. Wallahi, when you are angry, it doesn't work. It will always eat up at your peace, at your liberty inside. You are not free. And you are not at peace. For as long as we keep that way, the first person who benefits is the one who forgives. The first person who hurts is the one who keeps anger. Not the others. I'm going to be angry at them. I'll show them. You are the one suffering, more likely than not. You are not in peace. Only once you release, you are in liberty and you are in peace and you are free. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La taghadab, la taghadab, la taghadab. And he says, forgive, forgive, forgive. U'fu an, u'fu an, u'fu an, innaka idha mithlu. Because he wants khair for us. He wants us to be free. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be free in the most noble sense of the word freedom. My dear brothers and sisters, first thing to think about, I suffer when I don't forgive. Once you forgive, you really forgive with the meaning that we mentioned of maghfirah, of samaha, of afu and of safh, those meaning, if you keep them in your mind and in your heart, and we implore Allah Azza wa Jal. Second thing is to also know about the ills of not forgiving. We mentioned some of that as well. Restlessness, hate, conflicts, violence. When you are in conflict, are you at peace? Even in the family. When you are in conflict, are you really at peace? No, you're not, even whatever you claim. You can fake it, but you're not at peace. You're not as at peace as you can be. There is conflict. Unresolved conflict leads to despair, leads to anxiety, lead to depressions, and lead to anger. Unresolved conflicts. But once you forgive, if the other one does not, you have tried to bring a balance through justice, and it doesn't work, khalas, forgive, as long as it is personal rights. Forgive. Allah loves that. And Allah will exalt you, and you are free now in this dunya before akhirah. Learn to forgive. By learning about the virtues of forgiving, and learning about the ailments and the ills of not forgiving. The arrogant does not forgive. Al-mutakabbiru la yaghfir. If I don't forgive, more likely I'm a person who has traits of kibr, of arrogance. The zalim generally does not forgive. The person whose character is zulm in the heart does not forgive. If I don't forgive now that I'm transgressed upon, and I don't forgive, more likely that means I am a zalim. Means if I have power, I will do zulm. We don't have any power and we complain about oppressors. What if you had power? What would you do? You complain about them, we complain about them, they are this, they are that. If you had power, if we had power, what would we do? The style of life you and I live, the hearts we have or we don't have, in normal relationships and in normal conditions without having power, tell some a lot about the potential of what we shall be if we had power. If you don't forgive now that you don't have power, when you have power, most likely one will be a super zalim. The ignorant, al-jahilu, does not forgive. Al-jahilu la yaghfir wa la ya'fu. The ignorant does not forgive because the ignorant doesn't know and doesn't internalize the consequences of not forgiving, of which we mentioned some. And the ills and the ill consequences of not forgiving. Two, to help us learn to forgive is to will to change. First of all, I know the virtues. Number two, and the ills. Number two, I need to develop the will to change. If someone knows that smoking is terrible, nowadays I think almost everybody knows, thanks to America. Back home, no, there's nothing wrong with smoking. Now everybody knows smoking should be haram, really. As scholars long time ago said. Now there are some of us who know smoking is haram. Smoking is horrible to the heart, to the liver, to kada, let alone spiritually. And yet, we don't have the will to change. You know, I don't mind it. I know people used to say that. If I don't will to change, most likely I will not change. Allah will not help me because I don't want virtue. I must will to change. If I don't have the will, I must turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua. Always, الدعاء هو العبادة. Ya Rabbi, help me change. Ya Rabbi, help me be and learn to be Afu, Ghafur, and Safuh, and Samuh. Turn to Allah and ask Him that. And ask Him to instill, لأنه مقلب القلوب سبحانه وتعالى. It is He who owns the hearts and turns the hearts, سبحانه وتعالى. And implore of Him to help me change and to make me one who is Afu and Ghafur. Thirdly, I must always accuse my nafs. Please. Ya Allah, help me, and not defend my nafs. At home, at school, at work, in meetings, committees, communities, societies, organizations. Please let us learn not to defend our nafs, but to accuse the nafs. Let us be prosecutors of the nafs, not attorneys for the nafs. And as long as we are attorneys for the nafs will vanquish us. I must accuse my nafs. I must not say, I am. I don't need to change. I must not say, you need to change. I must say, we need to change. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. Never, never, never think of others. They must change, and I'm teaching them to change. I must change. It just happened that I'm expressing it loud, and I was asked to speak it to you. But I need to change. I must not be I must not be a litigant for my nafs, but a prosecutor of my nafs all the time, my dear brothers and sisters. To help myself with committing myself to quietness, I say this as a practical advice. To commit myself to samt, to quietness, as samt. Speaking too much is the cause of fumbling too much. And speaking too much leads to conflicts. Sometimes one way to get out of conflict is not to respond at all. Even when you know 200% you're right, or at least if you perceive 200% you're right. Don't have to answer, man or woman. Don't have to answer. Commit to quietness. لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. Nobody shall regret ever having been quiet for the sake of Allah. But you will always regret. We will always regret for having spoken. Help yourselves with samt and with more dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah. You want to speak? Speak to Allah. And the speech to Allah is dhikr of Allah. As-salah is tilawatul Qur'an. Do that. Strive to do that. It will help us be easier, inshallah ta'ala. Remember always through that dhikr, remember al-ghafoor, Allah the all-forgiving, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember that forgiving is not exposing me in this dunya and in akhirah. And the more I think of that, the more I see the faults of others, the faults of mine. And the faults of others sometimes are meant to awaken me. When I am subjected to hardships or to aggressions or to transgressions or to iniquities or to that which is displeasing to me, that could be a sign from Allah, a message from Allah to help me. How is that? One salih said, إِنَّمَا أَجْرَ الْأَذَى عَلَىٰ أَيْدِيهِمْ كَيْ لَا تَكُونَ سَاكِنًا إِلَيْهِمْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يُزْعِجَكَ عَنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى لَا يَشْغَلَكَ عَنْهُ شَيْءٍ. Please listen to this. Allahu Akbar. Look at this qalb, how it is with Allah Azza wa Jal. This qalb sees conflicts, sees challenges, sees hardships, sees iniquities, sees harm in the following way. He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, to me and to you, إِنَّمَا أَجْرَ الْأَذَى عَلَىٰ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Allah ran harm at their hands. Allah runs harm, that which is uncomfortable to us, emotionally, psychologically, physically, financially, whatever harm we perceive of at the family level, at the communal level. Allah runs that harm ala aydihim. They are only agents. They are only carriers. في الحقيقة it is Allah who gives and Allah who withholds. إنما أجر الأذى على أيديهم. He runs harm or discomfort at their hands, كي لا تكون ساكنا إليهم, in order that you do not acquiesce to them. Why? أراد أن يزعجك عن كل شيء. He intended that you are uncomfortable with everything so that حتى لا يشغلك عنه شيء, so that nothing distracts you from Allah, from Him عز وجل. What does that mean? When people hurt me, I perceive them hurting me one way or the other. With time, my alaqa, my attachment in my soul, at the deepest recesses of the spiritual level, my attachment to them begins to let go, and let go. And when it lets go completely, it connects completely to Him, Azza wa Jal. He wanted me to be uncomfortable here and uncomfortable there and uncomfortable there and uncomfortable there so that I find comfort fully with Him. And most of us, the more good we have from the creation, the more we forget the Creator. So He wants us to remember Him always by having in dunya difficulties. Those difficulties, when they happen to me, I'm not going to say, you did that to me. A person spiritually mature will say, Allah, Ya Rabbi, what are you intending to teach me? Yes, yes, Ya Rabbi, I understand. Yes, I need to disconnect from here and to connect stronger with you. Because His infinite beauty, and we in this dunya want finite pleasures, finite accommodations, finite services, finite ease, finite delight. That's what we do all the time, buy a car or buy a house or resources or food, or it's all finite. And we spend so much energy doing that, and He's telling me, I want to give you infinity. I want to give you infinity. Let go of that. Let go of that. Let go of that. And attach your heart fully to me, not to them. Be kind to them. Be respectful to them. Be thankful to them. But your heart should connect to me. I want to give you me. Infinity relative to any large number equals, any large number relative to infinity equals zero. And this is the way I would look at the challenges in life. And if I look at them at that way, shall I be angry at them? Because they are now a reason Allah Azza wa Jal created to help me come to Him. So why should I be angry at them? They helped me with hurting me. They helped me be nearer to Allah. Then I say to them, thank you so very much. Wallahi al-azim. And I close with this. I close with this. Please forgive me. I know I'm a few minutes after that, which is not usually my habit, but I think we don't have a class after this. Ibrahim ibn Adham, you know him? The great tabi'i saint and scholar. And he was frugal. Many people don't know him. And he was, you know, wandering in the desert. And one of his wanderings, he sees a horseman coming from far. And in those days, he was a soldier. It was probably in the Abbasid time. Not tabi, was it tabi'a or tabi'i tabi'in? In the Abbasid time, I think. And he was a soldier was coming, Jundi. And this Sayyiduna Ibrahim al-Adham is in his own world, in his own ahwal, in a different world. He doesn't see the physical world as we see it ourselves. The man on the horse was coming from afar, and he stops him. This is a warrior, rough, tough. And he says to him, Ya hadha, ayn al-imran? Imran, literally in Arabic language, means civilization, where there is fullness of life, and there is civility and civilization. He replies to him, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his hal, he pointed to the cemetery. He says, that is the Imran. course, he was not lying. He meant it in his hal. That's what life is. And the man, you know, he was in a different dimension, a different lower dimension, came out the horse and started beating on him. Beating on him, beating on him, and he wounded him and he bled. The man goes to the village and, you know, probably he tells his story and they asked him, what did this man look like? They described it to him. He described him to them. And they said, Ya Latif, that is Sayyidina Ibrahim ibn Adham. You did that to that Wali Salih. He said, I didn't know. And he went and looked for him and asked to forgive him. And he says, no, you're forgiven. They asked him, yes, Sayyidi, when he was beating you, apparently he didn't do anything. He said, when he was beating me, I was praying for him. Now, this is maqam. هذا maqam آخر. Why was he praying for him? Because in the hell in which he was, he says, he's given me the opportunity to rise in hasanat and in nearness to Allah because I'm forgiving him. I'm a mazloom, and he gives me the opportunity to practice forgiveness. So I am raised in nearness to Allah. I was praying for him because he did me a favor. If you are this human being, what can hurt you? This is a person walking on earth in Jannah before he enters Jannah. Allahumma ja'alna minhum. Allahumma ja'alna minhum. Ya Allah, help us be of those who, in their hearts, live in this dunya in Jannah with you before we come ultimately to the ultimate Jannah with you. Ya Allah, forgive us our iniquities. Forgive us our weaknesses. Forgive us our ignorance. Forgive us our arrogance. Forgive us, forgive us, forgive us. Don't expose us, Ya Allah. As you know, we are so weak. Don't expose us in this dunya and in akhirah. And grant us the means by which you benevolently and magnanimously, you would forgive us and not expose us. Ya Arhamar Rahmeen. And let that be shining in our homes, in our masajid, in our communities, in our organizations, in our nations, in the world. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.